Hey, happy Friday. This is KJZZ's Sun Up. It is your daily news update from here in Phoenix on our state and region. I'm Phil Latzman. Good day to you. Feliz Viernes, amigos. This podcast, a daily digest of Arizona news as reported by our KJZZ news team. Yeah, we've made it. April 10th is the date on this Friday, and here we go. Well, Turning Point USA's political arm spent months pouring money and resources into a little-known utility election here in Arizona. The effort contributed to a massive increase in voter turnout, but ultimately failed to stave off a challenge from a slate of clean energy candidates. From the politics desk, Wayne Schutzke has details.
There were 36,000 ballots cast in the board election for Salt River Project's power utility election alone, up from an average of 7,500 votes over the past two elections. Unofficial results show Turning Point candidates Chris Dobson and Barry Paisley will be the next board president and vice president. But the clean energy slate won five seats on the board for SRP's power utility, giving them an 8-6 majority. Board member Sandra Kennedy says they will use that power to push SRP management to adopt more solar and battery storage rather than investing in more natural gas.
I can say that the board members have just kind of been followers of management. So whatever management wanted, they got it. I think it's a new day.
Kennedy lost to Dobson in the board president race, but still holds a seat on the board. Turning Point characterized that as a major victory. Wayne Schutzke, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Some education news now. A change at the top of one of the Valley school districts. The acting superintendent of the Cartwright School District has resigned. Steve Watson has been in that role at the Maryvale District for just over a year. He announced his departure at a governing board meeting Wednesday. Board President Lydia Hernandez thanked Watson for his work during his time as superintendent.
The financials, the curriculum, the academic achievement, I think, with the focus, working with our district-wide leadership to make sure that we got all that done.
Watson didn't say why he was leaving. He played a key role in returning the district to a five-day school week earlier this year, which brought criticism from the community. Cartwright had used a four-day week since 2020. Well, the Maricopa County Department of Public Health has confirmed a new case of measles in a county resident. As Bridget Dowd reports, people may have been exposed at several sites in the Queen Creek area.
This case is not linked to previous ones in the county and has no known source of exposure, but officials are working to notify people who may be at risk. Maricopa County has reported four other measles cases since the start of this year. Coconino County recently confirmed a second case there. Most of Arizona's recent measles cases have been in Mojave County, around the small Utah border town of Colorado City. Overall, monthly totals have been declining since December, according to state health data. Health officials are encouraging residents to check their vaccination status and watch for symptoms like high fever and a rash. Bridget Dowd, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
On Wednesday, a federal judge refused to block the state of Arizona from prosecuting the prediction market Kalshi on allegations of illegal gambling and election wagering. Matthew Casey has the latest.
The decision means the Arizona Attorney General may pursue criminal charges against Kalshi, even while Arizona is being sued for it by the Trump administration. Kalshi says it's regulated by the Federal Commodity Futures Trading Commission. The Attorney General says it's subject to state laws. The judge acknowledges there's a legal conflict over which takes precedence, but said federal law limits when federal courts can block state court proceedings. The decision comes after the Third Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that Kalshi can take sports bets in New Jersey because it's federally regulated. Matthew Casey, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, NASA's Artemis II. What a story that's been this week. Expected to return to Earth today. The four crew members are the first astronauts to fly around the moon in more than 50 years. Roger Windhorst is an Arizona-based astrophysics professor. He says the successful mission means more than some may think.
It was a big step for man and woman, and a big step for mankind, to paraphrase Neil Armstrong. We didn't land, but we surely went around the moon and went further from the Earth than any human has ever been, and that's a big deal.
He says it shows scientists can operate these missions safely, and he's optimistic that reentry and splashdown off the West Coast will go smoothly this evening. Well, the city of Surprise and ADOT are eyeing improvements to Grand Avenue to handle current and future growth, including changes to intersections to improve traffic flow. As Connor Greenwald tells us, the Maricopa Association of Governments published a study recently on the Grand Avenue corridor in the Northwest Valley.
The study focused on the area between State Route 74 and Loop 303, The results were presented for the first time at the surprise city council meeting on Tuesday. Using future projections for growth and traffic, the study highlighted areas in need of improvement along Grand Avenue, such as the intersection with Loop 303. Bradley Williams is a transportation engineer with the Maricopa Association of Governments.
That the interchange is not going to be able to handle all of the growth in traffic for the next 25 years and beyond. What we learned is there are so many miles on either side along the 303 where there is no other access.
Williams says ADOT's improvements to the interchange at 155th Avenue and Loop 303 need to be completed before work begins on Grand Avenue. Connor Greenwald, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, ASU food service workers continued their protests yesterday, demanding higher wages and better working conditions from service provider Aramark. Back to the politics team. Here's Cameron Sanchez with more on that.
Workers say they're not making a livable wage since the cost of living continues to rise in Arizona. They want better benefits and better pay to get by. The workers have been in negotiations with Aramark for several months over a new contract. Labor attorney Maxwell Yulin.
People are getting priced out much more rapidly than we would have ever seen under that prior contract before. And it's why it is so necessary for there to be significant wage and benefit increases in this one.
A spokesperson for Aramark says the company respects workers' right to protest and is still in active negotiations. Workers have filed multiple complaints against Aramark with the National Labor Relations Board over the last year, alleging unfair practices like intimidation by management during the contract negotiations. Cameron Sanchez, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, the summer approaching, Arizona will strengthen guidelines to protect workers from heat exposure on the job. But as Catherine Davis-Young reports, state officials will not create an enforceable heat standard, at least not for now.
The Industrial Commission of Arizona met Thursday to consider a set of recommendations for workplace heat safety. Arizona labor groups have been calling for regulations, like California and six other states have, requiring employers to provide water and heat safety training and penalizing those that don't take such precautions. Phoenix airport worker Trina David told the commission the state should enact an enforceable standard.
Voluntary measures will never be enough in a state where workers are collapsing, being hospitalized, and living with permanent heat-related illnesses.
Instead, the commission voted to adopt a set of workplace guidelines. The state will provide more training to employers around heat risks. Then in December, commissioners will revisit the issue. Commissioners did express interest in creating an enforceable heat standard in the future, and Chairman Dennis Kavanaugh called the new guidelines an important first step.
Today's not a once and done. This is the beginning of our process as commissioners to deal with this issue.
The guidelines are set to take effect immediately. Catherine Davis-Young, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, on Saturday, the Heard Museum is hosting a fashion show inspired by a bleached flower brand used by tribes in the Southwest for nearly a century. As Gabriel Pietrazzi reports, bluebird flower is also the subject of a new exhibit.
Indigenous cooks have used bluebird in its iconic cotton bag since the 1930s. Now that flower has found space inside the Heard Museum.
And I got to be able to expand and explore what that means to us, not only with cooking.
Olivia Barney is Dene and the curator behind the exhibit, where more than a dozen artists use flower sacks to make shirts and vests. She says resourcefulness is another takeaway.
These are the rations, and this is what our ancestors used.
When 10,000 Navajos were forced onto the Long Walk and made the first fry bread with flour from the U.S. Army, what helped some stave off starvation is now celebrated as a comfort food. Gabriel Pietrazio, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
In sports, baseball pitcher Eduardo Rodriguez outdueled Nolan McLain in a rematch of the World Baseball Classic Final last night in New York, leading the Diamondbacks to a 7-1 win over the Mets. The D-backs broke it open in the seventh with four runs to take 2 of 3 in the series, and at 7-6 on the year, Arizona continues its East Coast trip in Philadelphia this evening. Basketball down to the final weekend of the NBA regular season. The Suns play in L.A. tonight against the Lakers. Phoenix has already locked down the seventh spot in the Western Conference, meaning they will host at least one play-in game next week with two chances to make the first round of the playoffs. Hey, that'll do it for this edition of KJZZ's Sun Up, Arizona's morning news podcast this Friday, April 10th, 2026. I'm Phil Latzman. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy it all. And we'll be here to do this again on Monday.